So you're on this journey in life, right? And so, did you ever go to any other rehabs or any missions or anything like that in the past?
No, I always felt like, I had everything under control because once again, our pride, I think as men, I think, we stay in the flesh and we're a very prideful species. We, pride is one of the, pride is such a gateway to every other sin. Once you have pride and you're over prideful and you're boastful, it opens the door to so many other sins in your life that you're blind to it because we are prideful. So I was like, I don't really need rehab. I can quit at any time. For some reason, I kept feeling something pulling in my life, telling me, I needed to change something that I was just resisting. I kept resisting this. I felt something like pulling at my heart to tell me to stop. But for some reason, whether it was my pride, I just wouldn't listen,
So, no other rehab, and then somehow you end up at the rescue mission. What, tell us how you got here.
Well, that's interesting. Probably, let's see, I came here in February of 2023. Before that, I was in a relationship in Vinemont, Alabama. I lived in Alabama for a while now. So I was in a relationship in Vinemont. At this juncture in my life, I had escalated to doing meth now. I did meth for about a year, and so now I'm doing pretty much anything that's in front of me. Alcohol, pills, weed, meth, I was doing all the stuff, and I was in a relationship with a woman in Vinemont, Alabama. We were in this relationship for, I want to say, about 2.5, 3 years, and I was working at a barbecue restaurant at the time, and I came home one night from work after doing a 10-hour shift. Came home, and all my bags were on the porch,
Wow.
in a hefty bag.
Was it surprising or did you think that was coming?
Kind of thought it was coming, but at the same time, I'm into myself, not really
Blinded by it, right?
blinded. So I was like, this, nah, she's not really going to kick me out. Nah. Until I got home and my bag's on the porch and her ex-husband was there telling me to get my stuff and to leave. So I was like, well, he's a pretty big dude. I think I might have to listen to him because he can whip my butt. So I was like, oh. So I got my bag, took a taxi cab to a motel out in Cullman. So at this time, okay, now I'm in a motel room, trash bag. There's my clothes. I remember the trash bag sitting on the bed, me standing there going, okay, what am I going to do now? I'm like, So guess what I did? Well, let's get high.
Of course.
I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Every time I didn't know what to do, instead of praying and opening up a Bible and, seeking, I was like, well, we're going to seek a bottle of Jack Daniels and a bag of marijuana.
Yeah, but at that time, and that's always what you fell back to, right? I
Yeah.
mean, you didn't really have that spiritual walk that you had,
No,
right?
not at all. Nowhere. Spiritual walk, I wasn't even in the spiritual forest to take a walk at that time. There was,
So garbage bag on the bed with your
yes.
clothes in it. You get high. What happens then?
Okay, so I get high. I can talk about this now, but at that time, it was not happening. And I did not have a lot of money at the time. So I was like, okay, well, I had barely enough money, to make it back and forth to work. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to do my laundry? How am I going to eat for this week? I'm like, well, and that is when this really, I want to say, horrible, it would not describe the depression that I had. I'm in this motel room. After about 3 or 4 days, I knew I did not have enough money to sustain me staying there because it's very expensive staying, even on a weekly rate. When you're not making a lot of money to begin with, it's very expensive. So my depression got worse and worse. I was waking up in the morning. If I did not have alcohol to drink, I would start shaking and nothing to calm my nerves. My addiction was getting worse and I became very super depressed. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, I'm like, nobody cares about me. There's only like maybe one or two people that know I'm even here in this motel room. I'm like, nobody's going to miss me if I'm gone. So, you know, I tried to commit suicide in that room. It was pretty bad. I took some shoelaces, tied them together, tried to make a little noose. And I don't know if it would have worked. And I'm glad I didn't. But, you know, I put it around my neck.
I'm glad you didn't, too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Me, too. I put it around my neck. You know, I tied it to that little thing, metal rack they have in the motel room. I sat in the chair. I'm like, I'm just going to kick this chair out from under me. And it's going to fall and break my neck and it's going to be over and I don't have to worry about anything anymore. And right before, you know, I could vividly remember what that room looked like. Right before I did that, I just heard something. It was not my own inner voice, but something just told me to just stop, you know, do not, you know, just stop. And it was just like the only word I heard in my head was stop. And I just took it off, sat there, broke down, cried. Didn't know what to do. The one friend I did have that was a neighbor of mine in Vinemont, she called me on my cell phone. She was a little old lady. Called me on my cell phone. Hey, RJ, just wanted to check. You know, I heard you got kicked out. I was crying, you know. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do.
And, this is just after you tried to commit suicide.
This is probably the... a day or two later,
yeah,
just called me out of the blue. See, I was just holed up in that room. I couldn't sleep, crying. I probably stayed in bed for 2 days.
Wow.
she calls me, and she's like, I'm like, do we have any resources here in Coleman, you know, that I can go to? And she's like, well, I don't know. Let me check. And then she called me back a couple hours later. She was like, no, she's like, I heard of this place called the Downtown Rescue Mission in Huntsville. And my first reaction is, Huntsville? I'm like, I'm not going to Huntsville. I'm like, I know nothing about Huntsville.
Yeah.
I do not know where anything's at in Huntsville. Once again, that pride. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to Huntsville. Find me somewhere else to go. And I do nothing about the Downtown Rescue Mission. I was like, ah. I'm like, okay. So she arranged for somebody to come and get me, drove me here. I was on the overnight side with my trash bag again, and it was a rainy February day.
And by overnight, you talk about the emergency shelter
for men. Yes, the emergency men's shelter. And at that time, I was still depressed, still feeling like, you know, ending it all. Checked into the overnight side. I was there for about 30 minutes, and after that, I was like, still felt like, you know, killing myself at that point. I'm just like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe this is how my life turned out.
Yeah,
I was just like, oh, I can't believe I'm here, you know, and I was just, I went up to the desk at the time. I'm like, I need an ambulance. Because I'm like, I'm feeling like I'm going to hurt myself, you know. So I spent 4 days in the hospital. I do not remember much of that 4 days. They were giving me, I do not remember the name of the medication they give you when you're going through alcohol withdrawals.
Yeah.
I was going through withdrawals.
And you were on suicide watch.
And I, yes. Yeah. So eventually, after that, I came back to the mission and talked to Adam Donovan, and he's
a chaplain. Yep.
Yes, and he does an they do an amazing job here. And he was asking me about getting into the program, explaining to me that the life recovery program was a 1-year program. And I look at it now as not just the life recovery program. I look at it as the life changing program because I was very skeptical about going into that program. He was explaining to me, I'm like, man, I can't do a whole year of this.
Yeah.
You know, a whole year? I'm like, Adam, really? A year? I'm just like, oh. I'm like, how long is it? it's a year? And I'm just like, oh man, I don't. And he's like, you know, he was explaining to me, you cannot have your cell phone for this amount of time. And then I was like, oh, no.
Got to stay on campus. And,
yeah, you can't go anywhere. And I was like, oh, no. You know, I was, once again, you know, my pride. I was just like, oh, no. And then I was like, and I remember sitting in his office just crying, you know, just crying. That was actually before the same day. I think that was the same day that I was like, no, I can't do this. And I think that was the day that I ended up going to the hospital, was that day.
Okay.
Sorry. Then when I came back, I was in the emergency shelter side. And I told Adam, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go in the program, you know. Hmm. And I remember a couple of days later, you know, I see Adam Casey coming down the hall, and he came and got me, and I went into the program. And if it wasn't for that, for being in the program, I mean, at this time, you know, when we started the program, I was kind of very skeptical about my faith, you know, in God and the Bible. And just, I was like, oh.
Yeah, maybe not any faith at all, right?
No faith. Yeah. You know, so I went into the program, and slowly, but from being in the program, going through First Step, and then that first couple weeks, I was still detoxing.
Yeah.
And
those are the toughest parts.
Those are the toughest parts. I want to say, anybody that can make it through those first couple weeks.
Yeah,
those are the toughest parts, because it's an adjustment.
Well, it's a free program, but it's also, you know, you sign up for it. So you can also say, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're still dealing with some of the coming off of the drugs a little bit, and, you know, detoxing from alcohol, and those are tough weeks, those first couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree. And especially when you're coming down from that, and you look around and you see other people that are in the same situation you are, you know, you're like, okay, well, I'm not alone in this, you know. Yeah. And then we have, you know, so many other things we can do here. I started playing basketball. Didn't know we had a basketball gym.
Yeah.
Didn't know we have a weight room that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and just everybody here, if I ever had an issue, I would go talk to one of the counselors, and everybody here started going back to church. And that was really the big change in my life, was going back to church. Mm. Once I went to church, I felt like this just relief, you know. I was like, okay, you know, I'm like, then one time I started going back to church, I remember staying on the program side in one of the dorms one night, and I was sweating, shaking, still detoxing, and I went outside because we have a smoking area back there. I went outside, and I was just like, God, I don't know what to do. Hmm. You know, I'm like, I'm sorry for not having you in my life for the past, you know, 50 years of my life, or you know, I was just like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Mm. I need your help. And I was just bawling out there by myself. And I just felt like this warm comfort over me saying, you know, I've been waiting for you this whole time to seek a personal relationship with me. I've been here the whole time. Mm. You know, I like I said earlier, I kept feeling that pull in me to be closer to God. And I was just like, okay, you know, I'm ready now. You know, I'm ready to accept you in my life and have a personal relationship with you and put my pride aside. Because I think, like I said, we have to put our pride aside at some point in our lives. We all have pride. Yeah. And you have to take your pride aside to be humble and admit, hey, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was greedy. I'm sorry I was prideful. Hmm. You know, here I am. I'm ready to have a relationship with you. And I think at that point, everything got so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, I started reading the Bible more, Psalms, started off, Book of John, started off just, I still, as a graduate, I still read every day. I started off, you know, we go through the program, we read the scripture, we do the homework, and then, especially once you graduate, you're allowed a lot of freedom. And freedom can be a good thing,
yeah.
And freedom can also be a bad thing. So it depends on what you do with your time, mm-hmm. you know. So I think as a graduate, I still read the Bible, go to church more, mm-hmm. come back from church, study what the sermon was about, and stay in the Word. And it's amazing because, like, as far as the drinking and stuff goes, I just don't have the urge to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no, I don't really, I don't think about it. You know, I'm just like, it's just like, I don't worry about it. I don't think about it.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel it's a freedom. It's really a freedom.
People think sometimes, and I think it's wrong thinking, that when you commit your life to God, which is really that you're giving it over to Him, you're not in control anymore. You're saying, God, I want you to be in control of my life. I accept your Son as my Savior, and I'm going to completely be faithful to you. That we, in our human sense, we're like, well, no, I did it my way. What's that old song, you know, by Old Blue Eyes, right? I did it my way. Yeah. Well, that's not how it is in our relationship. We give it over. But man, the freedom that comes from that, because mm-hmm. we are now giving our lives over the guy, the God who created the universe. I mean, he wants what's best for us, right? And so it's awesome to see the change. So one of the things that's I always think is a fallacy that people think is, you know, those guys that come to the mission, they're all bums and homeless, and they're guys under the bridge with a bottle, or that wasn't your route. I mean, let me ask you this. Did you ever think you'd end up at a rescue mission?
No, not at all. Not at all. I thought, you know, at one point I had a successful career. I was a manager of Yum Brands. It's a huge restaurant chain. They own all the Taco Bell, KFCs, and Pizza Huts. Hmm. I was worked in a market training store, making decent money. Always thought I had everything in control.
Yeah.
You know, it all comes back to pride.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I don't need no help. I'm never going to end up. Never thought in a million years I would end up here.
Here's the other thing that people always think. Well, you know, those guys down there, you know, they're just not wanting to work. And mm-hmm. but you've worked your entire life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been a hard worker.
Yeah.
And in fact, now you still work and you do some hard work for us, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's another thing. They're always thinking, well, those lazy guys. No, it's not people that are lazy. Sometimes it's people that took a path like you that were like, hey, listen, I'm dependent on drugs because that's the part of my life that I have. And then you find Christ and it's something different. So what's the difference from RJ 3 years ago or five years ago to what you are now?
Wow. I would like to say, you know, complete overhaul would probably be, you know, physically pretty much the same guy. I mean, I put on a couple more pounds. I'm getting...
That's the problem with the mission. We feed you.
Belly on me now, But, you know, I mean, spiritually, it's such a freedom, you know, to know, to put your faith in Christ and to put our pride aside and just seek a personal relationship with Him that I never thought I would have in 100 years and be able to come to Him with my problems and leave my problems at His feet.
Yeah.
And I had, like you said earlier, I had no faith at all, you know, and now every day I wake up and I think of things before my feet touch the ground. I think of things that I'm grateful for in my life. You know, I may not have a lot. I'm still working on, you know, some things, you know,
sure.
But, I'm grateful to be here. And, like people don't understand a lot of people don't really understand everything that goes on here, you know.
Yeah.
They look at it as just, oh, you know, it's just a rehab or it's just a, like you said, an overnight shelter or what. But, you know, the programs we have here, the people that work here go out of their way for the community. I work at one of our thrift stores and I work on the dock, of course. Yeah. Sometimes I'm the cashier, sometimes I work on the dock. But when I see people come in and they donate stuff to us, they realize, you know, that what they donate is going to help not just the mission, but, you know, everybody here.
Yeah.
So it's uplifting to see that, you know, it makes me feel better when I see people come in and they're donating things and I know it's for a good cause. And,
sure.
you know, that helps my spirit too. It's just, I think in the past 3 years, I've learned to be a lot more humble. Hmm. I think, you know, that's probably the biggest change is the humility that you have to have in your life. And to sustain a good prayer life, go to church and just be grateful and thankful for the opportunities that you have. Because when you do that, it opens the door for more opportunities. You know, it's like it's a total change. It's a total different mindset when you have that kind of faith in your life.
RJ, you don't sound like the guy you were describing in the beginning.
No, that's a good thing.
So give me two or three things that were impactful for you during the program. What were some things for you that really were like, whoa, man, that I get that now. What's the difference? And tell me what those two or three things are.
I think one of those things would be realizing that our life on this earth is very short compared to the eternity that awaits us when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the second thing would be, like I mentioned earlier, is that we have to humble ourselves because we are not, all we think we are. You know, we have to humble ourselves and put our pride to the side and realizing that, you know, without God in our lives, we really are kind of just floating out there and not really realizing what God's purpose for us is to be. You know, is less like ourselves and more like him.
Yeah.
And the third thing I want to say is to have faith in the program. Like you said, when you first get in the program, those first few weeks are rough. And to study the Bible, read the Bible, and beyond all, get some kind of prayer life. Prayer, the power of prayer is very, very important. A lot of people... we teach a class here on prayer in the program, and it's very impactful. It's a great class. The prayer life that you have to have is very, very important. Without that, you have to have the prayer life and the faith and humble yourself. Those are probably the three biggest takeaways I would have from being in the program.
Yeah, I would add one thing to that. Not that I'm adding to yours, but what I find with guys that are successful or girls that go through the program is that there's also a fellowship and a bond that comes. Bible tells us that we're not supposed to stay away from the fellowship of other Christians, and that holds us to a different standard, because when you're around other brothers and sisters, they can go, RJ, are you really doing okay? Yeah. You know, or you can go, hey, brother or sister, are you doing okay? And that helps build us, right?
Yeah, when you're around the guys, we're around each other for that program 365 days a year for a year. And you can kind of tell when someone's going through some things, and it's okay, not only that, but we also hold each other accountable. And you need that kind of accountability as well.
So, 53, right? Somewhere around there. Yeah, 53. I'm trying to figure that out with 89, because I'm an 88 graduate of high school.
Okay, a year before me.
So, so I'm a lot older than you, by the way. No, so what I always ask is, if you were thinking back, or if you think now, to somebody that's maybe 16-year-old RJ out there, or maybe a 20-year-old RJ, what advice would you give somebody out there that maybe is a prideful, sports-minded, hey, I got this, I've got my own job, I'm doing good. What would you say to that person out there that maybe is just starting to dabble in the drugs and getting on that path that maybe you went down? What would you say to that person?
I would say, for one thing, listen to your parents. But beyond that, I would say, if you're starting to dabble in that kind of stuff, to stop, because what you think is fun, it is, you think it's not going to be fun 20 years down the road. Even 30 years down the road, you need to stop and really get yourself into some kind of like a youth church or youth group. You can still ride your bikes or get off the internet as much and study the Bible. You have Bibles on our phones now.
Yeah.
You don't have to try to cram it all in at once, but seriously, do not start drinking alcohol, and do not think it's okay to have a couple of wine coolers on the weekends with your buddies or maybe two or three beers out in the woods with your friends or just those are not good ideas. You need to steer in a different path, to exercise, read the Bible, like you said, get into a youth group.
Yeah.
And I know, this sounds kind of nerdy, probably not what people want to hear, but if I would have did that, I think that would have been a big benefit in my life.
Yeah.
I would say those are the things to do is just to try to hang out with a better crowd. I think a lot of that as a youth, you want to be popular, and you hang out with a crowd that's not the most savory crowd in the world, which leads you to want to try just to be cool and do what they're doing.
Yeah.
And hang out with a different crowd. If you see someone getting high, drinking, find different friends.
Yeah.
You know, stay off the internet. There's a lot of influences on there.
Yeah.
You know, there's sin creeps into our lives in many, many, many ways.
Amen.
And the internet is, you know, those advertisements on the internet saying it's okay to do this or that just to be cool. Stay away from those things. And I know it's hard when we live in a society today where it's hard, not to have your phone in your hand all the time. And we see so many influences in our lives. And that's just the way that Satan will try to trick you. He will try to seep in any little hole he can to try to get you to sin.
Yeah.
And, you need to really be weary of that. And just try to, I would say, study your Bible more, get in a youth group, hang out with some different friends.
That's good. So I always think that people have their path, and I hate that you had the path that you had to get here, but I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Right?
I just want to say, this month is National Suicide Prevention Month, and, I came close to committing suicide, and I wanted to say, I know there might be somebody out there watching this or listening to this that has a problem.
Yeah.
Please reach out there and get help. Talk to somebody. We know as men, especially, we're a very prideful group of guys.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed to admit that you have a problem.
Hmm.
Talk to a pastor, get into a program, just do whatever you can, because, that's not the end of our lives. Accept God into your life, get a personal relationship with him, and that could be the beginning of a whole new chapter, in your life.
Yeah. Well, RJ, I'm so proud to know you and the path that you've been on to get you to where you are today. So what is RJ's plan for the next 5-10 years? What are you thinking for you? What do you want to do?
Lately I've been thinking about joining the getting into a biblical counseling program. I know North Alabama Biblical Counseling has one. I've been thinking about doing that for a while. I think I'm getting more pulled in that direction.
Yeah.
We all have, it's hard to describe. Sometimes you could feel God pulling on you to, hey, this is, you have to help. If I could learn something from a biblical standpoint to help, like you said, teens growing up, it's good that you mentioned that, the youth growing up, and what they face now, can you imagine what they're going to be facing 10 years from now?
Yeah.
It's just, if I could help people come to Christ and realize, through a biblical counseling program, that would be amazing. I would love to do that.
So you're focusing more kind of on a ministry aspect of your life now. That's kind of what you're looking to do in the future.
That would be great. Yeah. I know I have a lot to learn still. Yeah. That's why, once I graduated, I go back, start back in the New Testament, start in Matthew, read it all the way through again. I feel like every time I read it, I take a little more.
That's why it's known as the living word, because it's always something new, right?
Yeah. I get something out of it every time. I go back and reread the Old Testament. I just stay rereading it, I'll reread it. I'll read it again.
Hmm.
And, I think going through a biblical counseling program is a good thing, for not just me, but I think for everybody.
Yeah.
If we could help each other, they say iron sharpens iron, right? Yeah. So that would be a very cool thing. I would love to do that. I'm looking to get into that. I'm still working at a thrift store right now. I enjoy that. So I'll try to work that into my schedule somehow. I think it's a night class on Monday nights.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to doing that and just maintaining my faith and, helping other people. And pretty much live for Christ and keep the faith and put our pride aside. Pride is pride is the, like I said earlier, it's the sin that opens the door to every other sin. Yeah. So
Well, RJ, this has been an awesome testimony. Appreciate you sharing that with us today. I would ask those who are out there watching today to be in prayer for RJ and folks like RJ that are either going through the programs right now around the country. There's programs like this at Rescue Missions and other places as well. But pray for RJ too, because he's got it going on now. But there's always those struggles that you have, and
oh yeah,
and like you said, prayer is always a good thing for people to be doing for each other, right?
What were you gonna say? Could not agree.
Yeah,
prayer is an amazing thing. I still have days, you know, nobody's perfect. I still have my days where I get kind of down, but I pray, and I just keep praying and thank God, and stay in the Word. It keeps you in a good mindset.
Yeah. And if you'd like to visit RJ, he's at one of our thrift stores. And so go, I won't tell you which one, so you can visit them all. And, but he is working hard for us there, and we appreciate thank all you. He does. This has been one of our, another one of our episodes for our Stories of Hope. And we're so excited that RJ shared with us today. And thank you for watching today. And if you would share this with others so they can hear about RJ's story and maybe it will impact their lives as well. Thank you so much.